Welcome to CineQuest Video.
Hello and welcome to CineQuest Video, the podcast that delves deep into the VHS classics, to the modern day format, and beyond.
Artsy fartsy time.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Criterion, everyone.
The good stuff.
We, as the normal crew of CineQuest Video, are ill-equipped, uninformed, and uneducated in the ways of the Criterion
Maybe
collection.
Uninterested, even? I don't know. It depends.
I could say, yeah. As far as the spectrum concerned, the majority of us are uninterested. I would probably be more interested than the rest of y'all.
That doesn't mean that the facilitation isn't in the works. You know what? Like, we can help the baby birds that we know spread the wings and off. So
on this CineQuest video, the Criterion crew are tackling RoboCop.
Knocking that bitch down.
Right. You would think there'd be something we could do, but apparently not.
No.
Part of the Criterion collection? What the fuck?
Right, yeah, exactly. They ran with this. And more power to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so for the more qualified, probably more educated in film.
The initiated.
Mm-hmm. We present to you Criterion CineQuest Video with your host, Adanya. Hope you enjoy.
Knock it down.
Welcome to CineQuest Video's special edition of the Criterion Collection. And with your hostess, with the mostess, Adanya, and my gang here, my co-host,
D.A.,
and reappearing,
Ron,
and new guest,
longtime listener, first time guest, Cougar.
There you have it. So for today's movie, I have decided to go beyond what I like to watch, and this is actually a very questionable title in the Criterion Collection. It's very high up there with Michael Bay's Armageddon, which of course there's a reason why these movies don't have a reprint. To begin with, they're still probably available in Laserdisc. But, yeah, I wanted to go ahead and just discuss the movie RoboCop. Now, RoboCop was directed by Paul Verhoeven. It was released in 1987. Has a spine number of 23. So,
that's Criterion spine. Early.
Yeah. Like, I'm seriously, I told Ray, I was like, I'm pretty sure it was just some bro that was providing all of the money, that was like, you know what, dude, we should release RoboCop, man. And the gang was like, well, he's the one that pays the pizza, so exactly, we might as well give him the RoboCop.
Is it on DVD, or is it just on Laserdisc?
Just on Laserdisc.
Is it really?
Has not been reprinted at all. It doesn't even exist in that realm anymore of Blu-ray and DVD.
Yeah, actually, recently they accidentally released the X-rated version of RoboCop on Amazon Prime.
No way.
Yeah, it was out for like maybe a day or two, and then they took it off and replaced it with the original version, the theatrical version.
Do you know if it leaked anywhere? I would love to see that.
I hope it did. Yeah.
I need to.
I missed out. Yeah.
What was cut out of it?
I know. What would be cut out of it? It's such
more
a gory
violence.
Ass movie.
More gore, yeah.
That's probably what it is.
Like, I think, I like, you know, like shots like where they linger more on, like, you know.
Yeah. I like
his hand blown off.
And 209 just like goes off for like 10 more minutes on the guy. Just like. I don't know. Honestly, I can see where you're coming from, but I also, you know, this movie having so much influence and being such a cult classic and everyone knowing the name RoboCop, it's really shocking to me that it never got a reprint. I don't know, kind of just one of those movies that Criterion, not that they're a company that would cash in on anything, but it's interesting that they never reprinted just for the sake of the name RoboCop.
I mean, I'm not sure if it's just because of the sake of the name or just for the sake of the content, but I mean, this is the type of film I would mostly see on Arrow Video before I would see it on Criterion. But I can understand why. I mean, going back to some of the basics, the cinematographer for this movie was Joss Vacano. I don't know what other works he has done. Starring was Peter Weller.
Yay.
He's amazing. Yes.
Fantastic actor.
Beautiful man.
And Nancy Allen, Kurtwood Smith, which is recognizable as Eric Foreman's dad in That 70s Show.
He's awesome. I love his character.
And another recognizable face was Miguel Ferrer, which worked for Twin Peaks with mm-hmm. David Lynch.
Dude, I was wondering why he looks so familiar. Twin Peaks. Oh my god.
That's the dad, right?
Yes.
No.
The dad's also in this movie.
Yeah.
Ray Wise. He's also Ray Wise.
The dad from Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he plays one of the gang members. Leon.
He does. Yeah.
He's the one that Leon, Robocop fights
dude,
in the.
What on
he fights
earth?
Him in the, in the club. In the club.
That's yeah. true. What I didn't recognize him at all, dude.
Yeah, dude, he was in it, and you know.
That's
now
nuts.
Going back to also he's known well Paul Verhoeven is known for doing the movie Showgirls, and you know who comes
terrifying.
Out in that one,
Kyle MacLachlan,
which ruined his career.
I know, it made his career,
and then he had to come back at Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, he did.
And the score for this movie on Rotten Tomatoes is actually surprisingly 89%, and the IMDb, which is mostly just general audiences, is 7.6 out of 10.
Oh, I don't think that's surprisingly. It's a good movie.
Thank
yeah.
you.
It's a good
thank
movie.
The RoboCop theme is awesome.
Thank
that
you.
That iconic. Dun, 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 dun,
yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, so it's set in a crime-ridden Detroit, Michigan. In the near future, RoboCop centers on police officer Alex Murphy, which is Peter Weller's character, who is murdered by a gang of criminals and subsequently revived by the mega corporation Omni Consumer Products, OCP, as a human cyborg law enforcer known as RoboCop. So, RoboCop. Do we want to start with opinions?
We can.
All right.
Do I go first? I'll go first.
Go
sure.
first.
I love this movie. This movie is amazing. It's awesome. I like everything about it. Ed 209 looks sick. Whoever was in charge of making that model for Ed 209 did like an amazing job. Because I haven't seen that movie in like probably four or five years. And when they show like that shot of him like first putting his leg down, you see like the hydraulics and the gears and everything underneath like the panels. It looks really well done. You can tell like someone probably... They probably put a lot of work into that model. And, RoboCop looks cool. I like how he moves like a robot. I don't remember him moving that stiff all the time.
Peter Weller's dude.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's like him in a suit, obviously. But
yeah,
like,
it's
he
a real
did
suit,
it.
And it was hard, you know, for him to get around in. And he stayed in character, so I'm sure...
God damn.
You know.
He did an awesome job.
Yeah.
About, dude, and I think what really drove your point home for me about Ed 209... I made my brother watch that for the first time. Mm-hmm. He's 19, and he's seen the meme everywhere, you know, because it's been memed to death on Family Guy and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he actually saw it, and he's like, this is so much more shocking and so much funnier than any of the memes. Like, it's so funny. It's so effective. The fact that it's his name is Ed is just so funny. Like, everything worked about this movie. He also enjoyed it, and... I think that also drove the point home for me that, like, it's just a fun movie and you should take it
as
such.
Yeah,
I think that's why it became such an instant cult classic. I mean, it's just such a blast. What?
Yeah. No, I was just saying that the screenwriter of the film was also named Ed.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah, yeah just like... I don't know what that says about killing everyone in the company.
I forgot what he said.
Same guy who wrote Starship Troopers.
Oh, nice.
What?
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
That's a good movie. Same writing directing team did Starship Troopers.
Very, yeah.
Which is why, you know, I don't want to go off on Starship Troopers right now, but there's a lot of similarities.
It is. It is.
RoboCop that you see also in that movie.
Interesting.
Very cool.
Dystopia.
Kooks? Opinions.
Oh, it goes without saying, I love RoboCop. RoboCop is my my second father. I was raised by RoboCop.
Nice. Aww.
You know, Peter Weller he's great. I have a lot of nostalgic love for the movie. I mean, even the second movie, which isn't as good as the first,
yeah.
I still kind of like, because it's silly, you know, but it has a great performance by the villain, just like, you know, the first one. And the second one, it's, he's played by, what's that guy's name?
What does he come out in?
The House of the Devil.
Nice.
His name escapes me right now.
House of the Devil, Tom Noonan.
That's his name. Tom Noonan.
Very cool.
Yeah, he's the villain in the second one. He gives a similar, like, outrageous, kind of memorable performance as the villain, like, that Kurtwood Smith gives in this one.
I mean, I want to watch two just for Peter Weller. Like I said, like, I would have skipped rewatching Don't Look Now just to watch RoboCop 2.
Yeah, because Kurtwood Smith, he gets...
I want to see Peter Weller again in this role. He just really was so much fun. His enthusiasm and how much he gave himself into this role and how much of a blast it is from beginning to end. I don't know. This movie's a lot of fun. I think you should just not really. It's not one to deconstruct. It is definitely any. It's nothing like Don't Look Now or Salo, but it doesn't mean it doesn't deserve its spot in the Criterion Collection, because I think it has well established itself as a cult classic for a very good reason. It is just so funny and so clever in so many different ways, and the way it executes itself from beginning to end is absolutely brilliant.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
I can kind of understand how it has that cult classic.
Yeah, and it has that cultural impact.
Feel to it, but I don't know. I was still a little bit not...
Feeling it?
Not feeling it, no.
Not even the interesting dynamic of gender neutrality that it offered in the film.
Wow, Cougar. Way to play that card.
That's true. The first time you see Lewis, she like knocks some dude out.
She does?
Like in one punch.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did feel... especially when he's like, so you're driving and then you have a female driving, whereas, you know, men would just be like, women can't drive. But here you have this strong, badass woman driving a car, pretty much kicking ass, and then getting kicked.
She's the only one to, like, risk her life to save him, too, while everyone's, like, shooting him.
Yeah,
that's
true.
She went against her. It felt very like 1984, where everybody's just like brainwashed in that police academy or police station, except for her. She's just like, you know what? I'm not going to follow to what everybody else is doing. I know that's Murphy, because she asked him. Mm-hmm. It's like, Murphy, is that you?
Yeah, and that sparks the whole thing.
And then that sparks that ending.
Yeah,
yeah, and also, you know, back with the whole, you know, police station thing, you know, there's that bit where the guys and the ladies are changing in the same room. Like, there's no no distinct, you know, gender problems, or, you know, everybody's just a cop. You know,
well, it is. It's interesting because it creates this sort of world unto itself. You know, it's a dystopia of sorts. I wouldn't consider it a utopia, I guess. So that's
and it starts off that way,
but
too.
But I'm not sure if that automatically makes it a dystopia either, but I guess it is more than it is anything else.
There's just like quick little glimpses into
call it a dystopian film.
Yeah,
I think the TV really sells. Like, they always show like the news, or they show commercials.
Yeah, the news a lot.
Or they show,
I love
like, TV.
That. Yeah, I love that so much. It really those puts news you commercials. I want movies out of them. Some of them are so clever and so brilliant, and I think that adds to the hilarity of the film because it's so outlandish and so out there.
It was very outlandish. Like at some point, I thought it was like Troma with high definition cinematography.
No, see, for me, it felt more along the lines of someone like, help me out here, Brazil.
Oh, Terry Gilliam?
Yes.
Yeah, Gilliam.
Something more along the lines of that kind of surrealism.
Yeah,
satirical.
Yeah, his kind of like weirdly coolness. I think that RoboCop definitely pushes it to a kind of a more action-y, gory extreme. But I like that kind of silly outlandishness.
Yeah, like there's the
Evil Dead 2 with Army Darkness, I would say, are also like, kind of... Yeah, that kind of goofy, fun slapstick.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I actually felt a lot of, like, Cronenberg in some of the scenes.
I wanted to mention Cronenberg. When the guy gets out of the goo,
the toxic waste,
and he looks like a literal Cronenberg.
That looked really good, yeah.
That looks so awesome.
It looks really
real. The practical
real.
Effects overall in this film, the use of practical effects is just fantastic.
Yeah, special effects was pretty good. But like I said, at some point, I thought it was also kind of, like, campy.
It's supposed to be, right?
Yeah. But I hardly ever watch movies in the Criterion Collection that are like campy this way.
The scene where the commercial with the family playing that battleship game, Nukem.
No,
don't
yeah.
you
Nukem.
Wait.
Yeah, and that reminded me of that
I
one trauma
that.
Movie, Nukem
it?
High.
Yeah.
We did a podcast about that.
Pakistan is invading my border. Like, I don't know, it's just beautiful.
No, the one with the dinosaur, which one was that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's for the 6000 SUX, which, like, sucks. Like,
yeah, I also love how, like, that starts, like, it looks like it's happening in the city, and you're like, oh, my God, is there a dinosaur in this now? And it's like, the movie's so crazy that it just could happen. And I love that. The first time I watched it, I was like, holy shit, there's a dinosaur.
And if that's the advertising that they have in that world, just imagine, like...
It's fantastic.
Everyday life living
there. I know.
Detroit.
The world it creates, I think we don't give it credit enough.
Yeah, it really builds the world
up. It really does.
Yeah. Everyone wants that car, like the mayor that's has the, or oh, the yeah. ex-mayor that has the other mayor hostage.
Yeah.
He's like, anything you want. It's like the 6,000 SUX. Yeah, it's like, how about cruise control? Anything you want. Like, it's just, it's so stupid. He's like arguing about cruise control.
It's ridiculous, and it works.
I just like how all the cops drove like the Ford Taurus in that movie.
Oh my God.
Oh, they did, right?
Like, it's like, that's the go-to cop car, the Ford Taurus.
And it's like blacked out too. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's so, they look so cool. Him driving the police car is like the coolest shit ever. It's like a robot driving a police car.
Like, yeah, it is. That? It's very fucking like cool, dude, mm-hmm. just driving in his car. It kind of reminds me of that one movie, Drive.
I love Drive. I was trying to drive though.
Ryan,
I don't know.
Two robots driving cars. I like Drive a lot. I like Drive a lot.
Drive is good.
Drive is fantastic.
All right, so that robot scene, that very first scene when they bring out that big bulgy robot that murders the guy. Mm-hmm.
Respect the name.
Yeah, you lit him up, man.
Yeah,
that shit was crazy. You could tell they had like a bunch of squids.
Hey, it's not Ed's fault. He did not hear the gun drop.
But it wasn't about
he didn't hear the gun drop. That's the only reason it happened.
I heard the gun drop.
Okay, Ed didn't.
I heard the beat drop too.
That is, it's not anyone's fault. Can we not? Let's not play the blame game.
I like how they were like nonchalant about the murder. Though.
They were
like,
not. Yeah, they were horrified. They like ran out of the room.
But like the higher up, I forgot the guy's name. The guy who makes RoboCop, like someone on his team, someone on his team dies. And like he's the only thing he can think about is like, how can I get the deal? Because this guy just fucked up.
Right. Yeah.
And then the other friend is like, shame what happened about Kenny. And that's all they talk about after that. Mm-hmm. He's like, he got murdered in front of him. And like,
he was collateral
in the
damage.
Most like gruesome way you possibly can. And that just like,
oh, so much
might happen. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the character's name is Bob, played by Miguel Ferrer.
Bob Morton.
Yeah. And he's against Dick Jones, played by Ronnie Cox.
This cemented for me that, like, this is Kurtwood Smith's best performance.
Oh, yeah. Really? I couldn't take it seriously.
Every scene he's in, it's chewing scenery.
He is so electric and so psychotic and so much fun and just an absolute blast to watch.
Can you fly, Bobby?
Yeah, it's so much fun.
That's like my favorite line. Yeah, he's really
he has all the best lines in the movie.
He has all the best lines. All the one-liners I wanted to write down and just quote.
He just barges into a guy's apartment, pulls a gun out, and just says, bitches leave.
He's fantastic, and by far my favorite character in the movie. I wanted to say, as much as I love Peter Weller's RoboCop, he just stole the show for me.
He did, but I couldn't take him seriously though.
That's the point.
Was it his?
Wait, were you supposed to?
This is all a joke to me.
It's meant to be satire about, you know, a dystopian future that we'll never live in.
But there was that borderline that one. Borderline where I don't know if he's being serious or sarcastic, or maybe that's just the way I'm supposed to feel about him.
Maybe
it's just over the top
from the grenade with his tongue.
I think it's supposed to be, I mean, like RoboCop's not based on any like there is RoboCop comics, but I feel like it's not based on anything, but I feel like that's the vibe they were going for, because they even say in the movie where it's like kids are meeting what their parents thought they'd only read about in comic books.
Yes, they do say
so that. So I kind of feel like them being over the top, the villains especially, because I mean, even like the rest of his gang are like, they're laughing at like the most gruesome shit. It's like a comic book. It's like, that's how like the
it
villains
did feel
used to
like a superhero movie.
It's kind of, I would say a lot like movies like maybe like Scott Pilgrim feel like comic
they're
book
evil
movies.
And that's like that's all they are. They're,
you know,
evil
even
to
though
the
they're
core.
Not really well Scott Pilgrim is right, but there are movies that aren't really directly comic book related, but they just have that feel
and
it works for movies like that. And RoboCop, I
wherever,
can see that association.
It's kind of black and white. The good guys are the good guys and the bad, I mean, there's gray because there's good guys
there
that are
gray.
Also
and that also
like
leads
part of
to
them.
Yeah.
That also leads to an argument that I heard online, which I think is preposterous, of course. But it's how pro-cop RoboCop is, and it is a pro-cop propaganda film. I know this. I think this was by like a. I'm sure it was like some 15-year-old that was just complaining about cop movies on film Twitter. But RoboCop was named one of those movies that is just like bullshit. cop propaganda, and I'm like, come on, you cannot attach a stigma from a cult classic. I think it's the perception, mm-hmm. and I brought this up last time with the what movie did we talk about last time?
The Night Porter.
Yeah, The Night Porter. How our current just day. And our current society loves attaching so much bullshit to the movies now, and it kind of almost diminishes the quality of the film because it's almost like we're forced to see it through a different scope now.
Oh, definitely.
And I was like, no, I refuse to do that for RoboCop. It is a glorious film. It is not pro-cop propaganda.
I would say it's almost probably satire because
it is satire through and through. Definitely.
What's of Starship Troopers? I mean, that's like. I mean, it's meant to look like pro, like war, only good bug's a dead bug, and but there's like a. It's almost like anti-war because there's that scene where they show that guy. I forgot the actor's name, but they show him like as a war hero, and then he's they're like at the recruitment place. And then, like, you see him, like, with an arm off, and he's like, you gotta, like, join the military and shit like that. Yeah. But, like, he's just on a death.
At the end of the day, even RoboCop is, because it shows how corrupt the entire thing is.
A company bought him out.
It's just absolutely ridiculous because, for one, he is owned by a corporation.
Owns the cops.
Yeah, like, he's not even, like, police. Like, you know, it's just, it's a dumb argument.
And one of his directives is that he can't even do anything against the higher-ups of the company.
Yeah, he's not allowed to hurt them.
Yeah,
which brings me into the whole discussion of RoboCop's cognition when he starts. So, we already go through Murphy's murder, which was pretty fucking gnarly.
Oh, and the shot of his arm. Oh, yeah. Looks amazing.
Oh, that's really good. They called him a turtle.
giant
body armor that he was wearing.
Yep.
Yeah, but after that, when they, you know, I honestly thought that was it, that, you know, he's dead, they're not going to bring him back. And then they bring him back as RoboCop. And I bet they didn't expect him to have the memory, have the cognition, have the kind of set of emotion because he's a robot. So this really brings a light to pretty much the future of people being robots, because we're going towards that nowadays.
Is it people being robots, or is it artificial intelligence, or both?
Artificial intelligence.
Well, because it is both. I mean, if you look at movies about people, a film like RoboCop also accepts the kind of notion that we will merge with machine, and it's been explored in film and TV. But
the line between humans and like AI.
But the fact that we will be part, we can also be part machine and be human. I mean, RoboCop is quite literally about that. But I also think that I don't know. I it plays a big part in the film, I guess. What was that?
Jamie has a dog.
Aww, doggy. I don't know. I lost that.
He's just like, stop talking bad about RoboCop, Dania.
I love RoboCop. I don't know.
It's a glass.
Anyway, so as you were saying,
I didn't expect him to have that sort of memory. Like when he goes to his house and he starts remembering his wife and his son. You know, I didn't expect that from RoboCop because you assume that he's just there to do the robotic stuff. He's not there to do the mental stuff, the feelings, and. You can tell that he has some sort of emotions, the way that he feels, especially about avenging his murder.
Yeah.
But how would he remember that if he was just a robot?
He remembers it all slowly after the after he's told that he's Murphy. And then
he has the dream.
Has a dream.
Yeah.
He's like...
Yeah, he's told. He ends up finding the dude, brings him in, everything.
He's like jerking back and forth. Like,
that part's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, this very intense dream. Jeez.
After he eats his baby food.
Oh my God. No, it's paste. It is a compost paste or something.
Yeah, he remembers his life, and then he goes and visits his, you know, his old home and sort of envisions, like, I guess I'm assuming that was maybe one of his last memories of being there with his wife and his kid and all that.
Well, he just moved from what's the name of that city he moved from? He transferred from
Delta
City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think this was his first day, right? Like on the job, he got like lit up and then became RoboCop.
Yeah, because I remember
rough
that
first
scene.
Day at work.
Mm-hmm. And that scene, he's like playing with the gun, and then he's like, well, every boy's got to have a hero. And then you go to the memory of him in this house. And
Oh, he's the TV show.
Yeah, the laser gun.
What's
right, yeah.
And that's why he does that whole like thing with the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He spins the gun, yeah.
Spins
he
the gun spins around. The gun,
yeah. He feels very Clint Eastwood.
Every boy's got to have a hero.
Old Western style.
So Murphy's Revenge... trying to catch all of the guys that murdered him. What's up with that? Why would he do that if he's just a robot trying to fight crime?
Because he has the animosity towards Kurtwood Smith for doing what he did to him, for taking his life from him. Just because he's a robot, I don't think
I think what started it was the interaction with the guy on the motorcycle at the gas station.
Yeah, that was the first one.
Because he recognized him. He's like,
right, he's like, wait a minute. Yeah.
We killed you.
Yeah, and that, he records it, plays it back.
And he plays it back, and then just something in him just clicks, and he remembers, like, hey, that's that guy that was part of the gang.
That's when he starts looking
at him. And then he uses, you know, the police database to track the rest of them down.
You could argue
himself,
that,
and he finds himself quite literally.
You could argue that they committed a crime and were never caught for it, and so RoboCop's like prime directive is like to stop crime, so that's why he's doing it.
And since they are criminals,
like he knows they're criminals for a fact.
Yeah, and I mean the irony of the whole
film, though.
Oh yeah, it's personal. I mean,
could say that because then there's that scene where where he's fighting Kurtwood Smith and he's about to just kill him, and then. You're right. I am a police officer.
I'm a police officer.
Yeah. And he doesn't kill him.
You were going to say? Oh, okay. So let's talk about just the basics of film. So the cinematography was really amazing out of what I expected it to be, because you could see every single detail very clearly, especially with the 820 robot.
ED-209,
that one.
ED-209, he's great.
Yeah, it was very, very crisp. And I think the editing, that was also pretty good. The way they brought in those scenes from the trailers.
The trailers, yes.
Commercials. Every time they would go back and forth with the commercials, you know, it felt like I was in the 80s.
Yeah.
But it wasn't supposed to be the 80s, though.
It doesn't say what year it's supposed to be, right? It's just like near future.
Near future. Yeah. So maybe it was 80s. The 90s. Maybe I felt that 90s vibe.
Mm-hmm. Like kind of, I don't know, what is it? Escape from New York, where it takes place in like 1997.
Oh, yeah.
Does it really?
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Like they sort of, like I guess like in the 80s they sort of saw like the 90s as like the dystopian time to be alive.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think whoever did the cinematography for this was just incredible. Mm-hmm. I could see every single detail. Even the details I didn't want to see. Whoever did also the graphic design. Not the graphic design, but like that guy that got wasted with the toxic waste.
Oh, yeah. And the Cronenberg.
Every time that they were...
Oh, like the makeup and stuff like that?
Yeah, the makeup.
The effects, yeah. They still hold up. Like
practical effects.
They were good. They were Cronenberg good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When the car hits the acid...
Oh, my God, he explodes?
And it's like water. Yeah. It's so gross.
Like aqueous shit.
His head comes off.
And then he comes out all like deformed and stuff. Ooh.
It's lovely. It was great, great character and... creature design. I loved the practical effects when they blow the hand off.
And
it's just his like literal arm bleeding. Mm-hmm. It looks like, you know, you can tell it's practical effects when they blow off his entire arm.
Mm-hmm. And then they just line up and then just start blasting.
They have to reload. It looks that is not CGI. I mean, there wasn't.
There was no CGI.
Yeah. I think that scene at the time was pretty controversial just because of how violent it was and how long they lingered. Like,
yeah, and I feel like more than just the very first one, that's absolutely hilarious, you know, with Ed, that one lingers, mm-hmm. but most of them tend to. They kind of linger. That's why I'm very interested in seeing the X-rated version. Mm-hmm. I can imagine this just lasts for 10 minutes.
So what were your favorite scenes out of this movie? Because mine is that last one where... the girl, Lauren, right?
Lewis.
Lewis says, Murphy, I'm a mess. And he's like, I'll fix it. I was like, oh, God. Like, I could totally tell that Lewis had a thing going on for him even before he became RoboCop.
Oh, yeah.
Those looks. He's
a married man, though.
Yeah, I think, if I remember correctly, there was actually supposed to be an affair between the two of them.
What? Ooh. Is that in the rated R version?
No, no, no. Like, they never put it in the movie, but I think,
this
like,
is
in
the rated R version.
In the script, the original script, I think there was supposed to be, like, an affair angle between the two of them, maybe before he turns into RoboCop.
Oh, wow.
But they.
But how could how could that be? He just got there. That's his first day.
Maybe it wasn't in the original script. Maybe the original script was totally different. I don't know. I haven't read the original script. I mean, I'd like to. Yeah.
Maybe that's why he moved over to Detroit, because he had the affair.
Yeah.
All right, Ron. What was your favorite scene?
I like the ending scene when he's killing the, what's that dude's name? I forget names, but like, he's like
Kurtwood Smith.
Yeah, when he's like gonna. Yeah, he's going to shoot him, and like he has the CEO hostage.
Clarence Boddicker.
And he's like, you're fired.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's
like, thank you. And he just like shoots him.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's all he needed.
Yeah, it was that same guy that got Bob murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Dick Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dick Jones.
Yeah, I always confused Dick Jones and the old man. Like, they're both so similar.
They look a lot alike.
They're both older white guys, always wearing suits.
You're like, what is the distinction? I can't. So what about you, Cougs? What was your favorite scene?
Oh, gosh.
too many?
Too many to count, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
This movie means too much.
The whole movie's my favorite scene. But I guess I really like the that whole, part with the drug warehouse, that whole shootout. It's, I don't know, I like that scene.
That one's pretty good.
It's a good shootout scene, because there's all that powder getting everywhere. A lot of automatic weapons.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's
very action-packed.
It's action-packed. It's a great set piece. And then it, you know, goes on to the whole bit where, you know, he meets Clarence Boddicker for the first time and starts throwing him through the window.
Yeah. As
he gets cut up in his face. And
oh, that was brilliant.
That's the, you know, the
that
scene
so
where.
That was so good to watch.
Yeah, where the, you know, RoboCop becomes, you know, less of Murphy and more RoboCop because. He decides that, you know, he doesn't want to go through with his personal vendetta. He wants to be a police officer and arrest
him. Yeah, that was groundbreaking, too, you know, because the whole plot was him getting his revenge. But here we also have that other plot where it's him doing police stuff, actually policing. But it was groundbreaking to see him not take that personal vendetta. He actually took him to get incarcerated. And then in the end, the other guy, Dick Jones, was in on it, so...
Yeah, he gets away with it, and then they come back after RoboCop after them, but... Yeah.
What about you, D.A.? What was your favorite scene?
Every single one with Kurtwood Smith. Just every single one. He had...
They haul him into the police station, and then he's bleeding, and then he just spits on the paper.
Give me my fucking phone call.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
That, it was just like, you know that he's getting out. You know he hasn't made. He's part of all of this.
It's part of the system.
Yeah, it's part of the system.
Yeah.
I think that's also another big part of the movie. We don't really, it is a big statement on, you know, how corrupt police and government forces are, and that is something, you know, you're kind of ingrained in the campiness of the film.
Yeah.
So that's another reason I would say it's not like a pro cop whatever movie, you know. But not that it matters. I mean, even if it were, it's
about
a fun
as pro
movie.
Cop as Maniac Cop.
Oh my god!
Thank you. Yeah, Maniac Cop.
Yeah, the whole movie was just full satire, indeed. I can't.
That's why. That's also one of the reasons it is a cult classic, and we are. It's a Criterion film, and we're talking about it right now.
Yeah, I was about to ask. Yeah. Like, should it be in the Criterion collection?
Oh, definitely.
I think it should.
Yes.
And
it
why?
Is
as far as, you know, '80s movies goes, I mean, yeah.
It's like, probably like the best, one, like the best action movies, like in the '80s too. I'd say like this one, like Predator, are, like.
And
really
I would
good.
Say that, you know, RoboCop is kind of iconic in a way too.
Yeah, it is so influential. It is so iconic. Like I told, you know, I can talk to anyone. You can talk to anyone about RoboCop.
Yeah.
People will know the name just because it's such an influential film. And I think that alone is probably a reason it is in the Criterion Collection.
I don't know. Every time I think about RoboCop, I think about that robot dance in the '80s. Do you think that's who inspired it? Yeah, like do 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 do.
I hope not. They never did it.
That's no, like how he was walking the whole time. He was like, he looks
a little bit. Yeah, he really sold it. For him to be in that suit and do all those movements precisely the way that a robot would do them, that is incredible.
I wonder how they put, like, how they made it without the helmet. Because when he takes it off, he's like, his whole back of his head is like robotic. Yeah, it looks like his skin's like pulled, like.
It does. To the end of it almost looks like it's underneath his skin in the back.
Yeah. I wonder how, like, the helmet piece or something like that.
I think it was all just one prosthetic. Like, the only part that's real is just, like that tiny part of his face. But everything else is.
There's probably, like, an elastic part of his face that isn't real that they stretch out.
Yeah. Like, it's probably just, like, the main face, yeah, like, but I just wonder how they. I imagine how long it probably took to.
I was surprised that face survived that shootout at the very beginning.
They never go for his head except for the part where they shoot him, like, right in the temple.
Oh yeah, it was when
at the very end.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, there was no scar. I didn't see no scars. I didn't see anything on that face.
They shoot him at the top of the head, though, not in the face.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So if it's not in the face, it doesn't count.
Yeah, and you know they probably had plastic surgeons or the equivalent of that when they were building RoboCop. You know, and they didn't want to, you know, have a scarred, you know, face.
Yeah. Be poster boy. Yeah.
You got to have a face that looks like Peter Weller. You know,
Peter Weller was
So you can trust the guy. It's like he's a robot, but you know he's got a face you can trust.
Exactly. Nice, lovable,
nice guy face.
He's a lovable cyborg.
All right.
He was nice to those kids and everything.
Exactly.
They look like they're just having
sold
fun.
It, man.
All right, so let's get down to the ratings, though. What rating would you give it, Ron? Out of 5 stars, what's your rating?
4 out of 5.
Damn, that's high.
Yeah, this is an awesome movie. It's sick. I like this movie a lot.
I was expecting you to give it like a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, that, right? Maybe 5 out of 5, but 4 is still pretty high. Coogs, what's your rating?
4.5.
Whoa, you one-upping, half-upping, Ron?
That's fine.
What about you, Dean?
I am also at a 4 out of 5. Yeah, I love
this
movie.
Am I the only one that's at a 3?
Probably.
Yes, clearly.
It's my fucking artsy ass that just won't let me say this movie is good. But I will admit, I could revisit this movie. I could revisit and enjoy the watch because it is just that family vibe, too. Mm-hmm. Not really family vibe with all the gory scenes, right? But it is much more friendlier.
Yeah, and it's sort of like an action movie that's kind of... No, it's not an action movie. It's kind of like... What is it? It's got a message, you know? It's a satirical anti-police, you know, romp that's disguised as an action movie. Because there's a lot of underlying, you know, messages that it's trying to say, you know, in between the... You know, hands getting shot off and
of course,
vengeance and all that.
Consumerism for sure.
Consumerism,
that's like a big part of it.
Yeah.
Capitalism.
Yeah. Yes.
There's all that.
Now we're
all
talking.
The parts where they're showing how like OCP is like trying to like clear out all the poor parts of town because they want to create a bigger, more futuristic, expensive version of Detroit.
They call it a cancer, and they got to like take it out.
Yeah, that's what they. Yeah, they did call it, and that's why they created RoboCop because they wanted to get rid of all that violence and all that crime, but they didn't expect it.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ideas there, like underneath the surface of the action movie plot that sort of I think resonate today.
Yeah, I agree. Very anti-corp, anti-establishment style film that people don't really dig into because.
Yeah, because sometimes people just watch the movie
it's
for face value.
Surface level appears one way, but
it's got the best of both worlds.
Because it's not heavy-handed. It's like.
It isn't heavy-handed.
You figure that's the way this world works by how the other characters act with one another, commercials, the news, the way everyone's... I mean, the corporation owns the police. There's a scene where, a guy with a suit walks into the police station and is like, it's out of your jurisdiction. Like, we own the cops. Like, get the hell out of here. It's just like, that's their police station. They're just coming in and, like, taking it over. And it's pretty good.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. So, much love to the RoboCop.
Much love to Peter Weller.
And Kurtwood Smith.
Yes.
All right. And so, thank you, Mr.
Ron.
Cougar.
D.A.
And your hostess, Ilania. Closing down.